Welcome to the Inside Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday. And every Thursday here on the Inside Out podcast, we are taking a look at the stories that are shaping our world, the funny, the feel good, the frustrating, and the faith enhancing. It's faith, culture, real life, all delivered with warmth, clarity, and a bit of humor. This is Inside Out Thursday edition. Welcome. Why is it becoming so easy for people to share their entire world and life and their hearts with an AI chatbot, but so hard for us to be honest with Christ? This is our anchor point today, how we offload a lot of the guilt and grief and really deep personal stuff into these places that feel safer and quieter, but they're not exactly holy. Also, we'll get into a little news here happening at the airports. Don't forget your ID the next time that you travel. Most of us don't, but TSA will be adding fees in 2026 for your forgetfulness. Every little thing has a cost now, which brings us to our main story today. When was the last time that you paid for something? You bought something, but then after you bought it, you still had to keep paying for it to actually use it. This could be your car's heated seats that come with a subscription or a streaming service that you have. It's just feeling like this modern world that we are living in now runs on monthly fees and these hidden annual upgrades that we have. So we'll look at that. This whole subscription society we live in, the companies that have so much control, what are we actually losing? Yes, money, of course, but I think we're losing a whole lot more. So we'll explore that. It's all coming up. Have you heard of this? People are using AI chatbots like a digital confessional, typing in regrets and secrets and all these deep, dark things that we hold that we don't feel safe sharing anywhere else. So it doesn't go to a friend or a pastor or a Bible study group if we happen to do something like that. And definitely does not go to God. And I get it. It can feel like too much. It is too messy. It's too personal and deep, too sinful. We feel like we are the outcast, that nobody's going to understand this. And we don't want to overwhelm anybody. So we're offloading this into a machine that won't respond back to us with a soul response. It is all fake and all automated. But people are finding comfort in this. So then where does that leave us? How do we function here? Because we might feel a little relieved, but not necessarily restored. I do this in real life. I'm generally healthy, I think. Praise God for that. But when I go to the doctor, sometimes I feel like I've got a whole laundry list of things that I could bring up to them. And I don't do it because I feel like, ooh, this is a lot for one visit. So I hold back. I give them pieces of things. I leave out the whole story, but then I end up leaving half helped. And I think we do that spiritually as well, not just with people, but with Christ. We forget that he can handle the whole laundry list of things that we have. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity. This verse really shows the difference between the heavy burden that we carry of hiding sin with the joy of being transparent with Christ. And we're not ignored, we're not tolerated, we're not shamed, we are forgiven. And that is what Christ came for, to carry the full weight of that. And I think when we avoid him or use these other means to try to reconcile some of the pain here, even in small ways, we end up really hurting the very relationship that brings us healing. And every time we try to plug something into AI to get our answers or to release things that we've been holding on to, we're losing the active, full relationship that we can have with Christ when we're turning to a fake Lord. And some of us might say, well, you know, it's just part of the times in the chatbot. It's, I kind of use it as journaling, get a handle on what's going on and some feedback and advice. And yeah, I would argue a little differently here. I love to journal. It helps me get my thoughts out and just to think things through. But let's not hand our pain and our fears and our deepest hurts to this machine that can only mimic comfort, even give us Christian-sounding advice. Let's take our journaling, our thoughts, our whole selves to the one who already knows us intimately. His word is what will lead us. His mercy is what will hold us. That is where we're going to find comfort and resolution. It is not in a chatbot feeding information back to us. It's in the heart of our Savior who is real and never turns away. If this has given you something to think about today, would you just take a moment and follow the podcast, subscribe? Also, if you leave a quick review, I would love that. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, but it does help more people hear these moments of truth and help us stay encouraged in our faith. It's already one of the worst feelings when traveling, when we have to stand in the dreaded airport security line. But it's actually a whole lot worse. Yes, things can always get worse. When you get to that little kiosk with the TSA agent and he or she says, ID, please. And you're digging through your stuff and oh my gosh, I forgot it. Starting in February of 2026, our forgetfulness is about to get a little more costly. The TSA says travelers that do not have an acceptable ID, like a real ID or a passport, will now face a $45 non-refundable fee. And you will also be sent into this whole online verification process right at the airport, which is great in maybe some ways, because at least you don't have to go home and find your license. But it takes a little time, maybe 15, 20 minutes, sometimes longer, and there's no guarantee that it will work for you. So you could end up paying, waiting, and then still missing your flight, which totally stinks. And I don't fault them for this. I mean, you should have your ID, right? It's another process and procedure that takes time. It costs money. And how many people actually forget their ID? I don't think I have ever forgotten my ID. I mean, I've forgotten plenty of other things like my suitcase, which is not so good, but my ID, I think I've pretty much always had on me. So just be aware, they are always looking for other ways to charge us, which by the way, something else I think they are looking to do soon. You might be able to pay your way out of the security lines. You know how you have the fast pass at the amusement parks to skip the lines? Yeah, kind of the same thing. If you want a little extra encouragement during your week, something that is real and tangible and grounding, subscribe to our newsletter. It'll show up right in your inbox so you don't miss anything. New York is looking to possibly ban in-car subscriptions. New York lawmakers want to make it illegal for car companies to charge these monthly fees for stuff that is already built into your car. So we're talking about things like your heated seats, the remote starter, driver assist features, anything that is physically in your car, but you just can't use them unless you keep paying for it. Here's ABC News addressing this issue.
The subscription economy is everywhere now. Automakers are getting in on it too, charging subscriptions for features already built into your car. It's a growing trend in the auto industry. But as CBS6's Brandon Sapardi found out, New York State lawmakers, some of them, they want to put the brakes on it.
You buy the car, you expect everything to work. But automakers are changing the rules, turning features already installed in the car into subscriptions. These include features meant to keep you safe.
One of the most important ones that you need to know about is the automatic collision notification, ACN. And that is a system where if your vehicle is involved in a crash, your vehicle, without you doing anything, automatically notifies emergency personnel.
But for many drivers, it only works if they're subscribed to it.
Here we have this technology that studies have shown are capable of saving hundreds to 1,000 or so lives every year, yet there's resistance. Why? Because, you know, they want to charge a subscription for it.
None of this surprises me anymore, but it is still so frustrating. You buy the car, and then so why are we still paying? you paid for the technology that is sitting inside the vehicle, but if you want it to actually work, you need to pay for it monthly. Now, to be fair, I will come to the defense of the car companies just a little bit because the technology we see is changing so fast and updates have to be made. The GPS, the software, security features, all that is going on. But still, we are at the point where lawmakers are now stepping in to say, hey, maybe we don't make people rent the thing that they already bought. People aren't happy about it. Kind of reminds me of taxes, but that's a separate story. Here's a YouTuber really summing up how everybody's feeling about this.
It used to be simple. You buy the car, you get the features. But now things are getting out of hand where your car has the features, but you can't use them until you pay monthly. BMW tried charging $18 a month for heated seats. The seats were already in the car, already working, but they just thought you buying the car wasn't enough. Mercedes went even further. They'll boost your EV's horsepower if you pay $1,200 a year, but you're not even upgrading anything, just unlocking power that's already there. Toyota made remote start a subscription too. It used to work from your key fob. Now it's locked behind an app, and it doesn't stop there. Some now charge for built-in navigation, even if the car has GPS. And here's what's wild. This is becoming normal. Even mainstream brands are testing features on demand. It's not about flexibility. It's about making sure they never stop charging you.
Pretty much captures where we are right now. I think it is a wild time for us to be alive. The way we do life feels like it has been flipped upside down. I think that is what we are in now. Things are so drastically different. How we do school, how we do church, how we work, the types of jobs now, how we buy things, how we own things. But if we go back, I think some of this actually started with these companies that started building their own ecosystems. Apple comes to mind. I think they were really one of the front runners here because they weren't just selling us a phone. They sold us the whole Apple universe. You had the iPod, remember that? We changed how we listened to music. And then we had the iPhone and you had to get apps through Apple. That was the only way you could do it. The repairs and chargers and headphones, all of that had to be within the Apple ecosystem. And I get it. And I, as a consumer, there are parts of it I like. We are an Apple family. We have everything Apple. I love my iPhone. It works, the computer, it all connects. I understand it. It's easy. They make it convenient, although expensive with all these add-ons. And then we've got Tesla. People love their Teslas, but if you would like faster acceleration, there's a software unlock for that. If you would like to see live traffic or video streaming, yep, you're going to need a subscription for that. And so with these companies that have these ecosystems, it feels like as if you went to buy a house that has 5 bedrooms, but they say, hold up, you know, you're going to pay for the 5-bedroom house, but you can only use 3 of the bedrooms until you upgrade to the plus plan. And you're like, what? I just bought the whole house. And they're like, oh, yes, we know you get the shell of the house. Yep, it's all there for you. It's all ready. But, you know, those doors are locked until you buy into that monthly subscription. So we get the shell of the house, but nothing else. And so other companies saw this and they started to jump in. And so now we have these car companies charging extra for the remote starter, and that comes at a cost every month. If you want the heated steering wheel, that comes at, you know, an extra $9 a month. And even some of these safety features end up behind paywalls. Even all the smart home companies are kind of in on this. So your doorbell and your thermostat, your lights, your refrigerator, all these things, it's a service. It's the monthly subscription service instead of something that we just buy and own. I'm not saying that every subscription is bad or that every company is out to get us and nickel and dime us into oblivion. Some of it just makes sense. Like if you're getting security software updates, that's important. That's a good thing. But even with all that, I'm just wondering, is this new system, this new way of doing life good for us? What is it doing to us? I can still love Apple products and also admit that I think it's really not so great that we can't fix any of the Apple products on our own anymore. We have to go through the system. I remember growing up, we had a TV repairman and we had this regular guy. He was the best. I remember him as a kid. He was so nice. He came out, repaired things, the TV, the stereo, the phones. You had a phone repair person. And we don't have to go back to that, the good old days. I understand that. But this new system, I guess it's still new. I just think it feels really off. It feels off to buy a movie or buy a book, but because we bought it through the ecosystem subscription service of some company, we can technically lose it if we leave the system, which technically means we don't own it at all. And we're still paying a lot of money for this rental. And so that feels more like corporate control. When a company can remove something from my digital library because my subscription lapsed or I didn't pay it or I wanted to discontinue it, it tells me who's in charge and it's not me. And I don't want to be the one working for them. I want them to work for me and my life. That's the whole point of being a consumer, at least it used to be. But that's what shifted. The whole entire power dynamic has flipped, especially now as we head into the winter months here. Something feels a little off when we are sitting in our freezing car, knowing that the seat with the warming technology that we paid for could indeed be warm right now, but because it's locked behind a paywall, we can't access it. This is like going to a sub shop and you pay $12 for your sub and they hand you a plain sub roll across the counter and that's it. You're like, well, where's the sandwich? This is just the bread. And they said, Oh, yes, you bought into the sandwich system, but you wanted ham, you wanted lettuce, you wanted tomato. Those are all extra. These are part of our subscription-based toppings. And we laugh at that now, but who knows? That could be next. There are some restaurants that are kind of testing some of these things out. Subscription life is basically a long list of stuff that we have already paid for, and it's chopped up into these little add-ons that we rent. We aren't owning things anymore. Not music, not movies, not photos, not software. It's just all rented month by month. And just to put this in perspective for us, Netflix. Okay, a lot of us have Netflix, various subscription levels, but let's say it's $15 a month. I think that's probably the average. If I were to keep a Netflix subscription for the next 20 years of my life, that amounts to about $3,600. That is a lot. But if you think, well, that's not so bad. That's 20 years. Okay. Well, that's just one subscription. So start multiplying that by all of our other subscriptions. People today have an average, I'd say around maybe 10 subscriptions, regular monthly or annual subscriptions. And I think that's probably being conservative. But let's say it's 10. And let's say it's all at $15 a month. Again, that's probably way conservative, most likely. Over 20 years, all of those subscriptions, you have spent $36,000 in subscriptions. Things that we could have probably just owned outright and to never have to pay for again. I don't know. Maybe some of us are torn on this issue. Like, who cares, right? Does it really matter? Maybe this is just how things work now. But the more we live in a subscription world where companies hold all the control and we just access the things instead of owning them, the more we become the renters in our own lives. And I don't like feeling that way. I don't like feeling like I'm not the one running my own life outside of Christ, of course. And the truth is, when we don't own something, we don't care for it in the same way. We use it. We're not really investing in it. We're relying on it, but we don't feel responsible for it. And anyone that has ever had a rental place knows this, that the renter simply, they're not going to care for the place the same way that you will. And so this whole shift from ownership to borrowing changes how we think about everything. When I look at this through a faith lens, and I think it does connect more than we might think, we are created to participate in our lives, to tend to things, to take responsibility, to repair things that break, to restore things that need renewal. That can be physical things and also in relationships. And that kind of involvement shapes our character, shapes who we are. And we really can't steward something well that we're not allowed to have authority over, or at least I think it's a lot harder to take responsibility for something that we only rent. We can to a degree, but I think that will always stop short. And no, this isn't God telling us in scripture that it's holier for us to own our refrigerator than it is to rent it. Because technically, I mean, even when we own things, we're really borrowing them from Christ anyway. Even in this life, everything is temporary and on loan from God. But I do think ownership matters, especially when it comes down to some of these tangible things. But all of these models are shifting to that you will own nothing kind of mindset. There's a great book on that, by the way. I think it is called You Will Own Nothing. It's even starting to show up in how the world talks about parenting. There is some funny and also horrifying talk online of how some people really believe we do not, quote unquote, own our children or have the rights to be their guardian. They think it should be through the cultural ecosystem. And, you know, don't worry, parents, we're going to push the new values here. This is where they get it. Get your monthly subscription. You're still going to pay for it, but we're going to do it over here. Upgrade them with the right software. No, thanks. They're not something to be outsourced. God entrusted them to us and wants us to take the leadership and authority over our children. And that is a good thing. And I certainly hope it stays that way. But I'm bringing this up today because I think it's good to be aware of these things. Sometimes we can take action on these things and fight against them. Sometimes it's just good to have the knowledge so we have wisdom on how to move forward. I'm not saying we have to go off the grid and boycott everything, but let's pay attention. We surrender a bit of our control. I really don't want to have to check in with a company just to make sure that I can get started on my day. I don't need my life running on some kind of corporate permission slip that, okay, yep, she paid for the month. She's good to go. You know, let her have access to all the things around her house. So we just need to stay alert on what is happening, what we are giving up, maybe take back a few pieces of everyday life that remind us that we have authority over these things. We're meant to steward them well and not just subscribe. All right. Well, that is it for today. If you get a chance, go join the Facebook group for Insight Out. It's called Insight Out Community. I would love to know, if you know off the top of your head, how many subscriptions you actually have. This will be pretty eye-opening, I think, for all of us. All right. Well, remember to see differently, think differently, and live Insight Out. I'll see you next time.